Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players. Build a Pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Hit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hello, I'm Paul Giamatti.
And I'm Stephen Asma.
Join us on the Chinwag Podcast every Wednesday, where we trade the banal and the boring for the super strange and bizarre.
They committed human sacrifice?
I did bring up human sacrifice, yes.
You sure did.
That just went by fast. Gotta
casually toss that out.
I would like to have an alien hatch its young inside.
Holy shit, really?
She saw world peace, and I saw demons coming out of the wall.
I will say that there was a green couch outside of the principal's office, and you sat on it if you had lice or if you got into trouble.
They wake you up from the goo pods to live in reality, and you're naked and screaming. It's like...
Follow us for free on Apple Podcasts and all major podcast platforms.
For more information, go to chinwagpod.fm.
and find enlightenment through our Instagram or TikTok at ChinwagPod or on Twitter at Chinwag_pod.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do I do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
I have yet to laugh in this movie, I'll just tell you that.
You picked it, motherfuckers. Just remember that.
You know the problem with Hollywood is? They make shit. Unbelievable, unremarkable shit.
I was legitimately offended.
You were offended?
I was offended.
I didn't know you could get offended.
I was offended.
This did it.
I was absolutely offended.
They're fucking making shit up, I mean!
Inconsequential detail after inconsequential detail after inconsequential detail.
Bees don't lie.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm holding a mic in my hands and now I'm talking all alone. Okay.
Welcome to Cinephobe, the podcast where we break down the movies you're afraid to admit you love. I'm Zach Harper, joined by Amin Alhassan, Anthony Mays, producing the show. This week on Cinephobe, a very special 2000 Scientology / political thriller, Battlefield Earth. Guys, I thought last week with Good Luck Chuck couldn't get lower, but we may have gotten lower.
You challenged me here with this 5% Rotten Tomatoes for Good Luck Chuck. I had to end Good Luck Chuck's reign as the lowest rated movie on this podcast.
It is. I will say this, though. I might have been more entertained by this than I was Good Luck Chuck. I definitely laughed more. Fuck up. What? Are you serious?
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, my God.
Balls of Fury wasn't in this movie, Zach, so.
All right. Battlefield Earth stars John Travolta, who at the time was coming off The General's Daughter and was about to be in Lucky Numbers. Also, we get Barry Pepper, who had just been in The Green Mile and was going to be in 61, an HBO TV movie thing. We also get Forrest Whitaker, who was just in the Usher vehicle, Light It Up, and he was 7 years away from being the best actor for Last King of Scotland. That's where we were with this.
Is there anyone who's had a more like puzzling choice of roles in career than goddamn Forrest Whitaker? Like he's tops, right? He's got to be tops.
He's really been through it. Like he's been in every kind of movie, every kind of role,
every kind. Like in a way that even Samuel L. Jackson, I don't think, is on his level.
Like, what's the worst thing that Sam Jackson's done? Like Formula 51 or something like that?
The one with the shark?
Deep Blue Sea, a fucking shark ate me.
That's a good movie. You guys go fuck yourselves on that. That's a great movie. Deep Blue Sea is amazing.
That movie's not good. That's amazingly bad.
It's better than most of the movies we've done on this.
I'm not going to argue that with you.
All right. This movie's directed by Roger Christian, who has directed Underworld, not that one, not the vampire one.
Yeah, not that one.
The one with Dennis Leary. And Masterminds, not that one, the Zach Galifianakis movie, the one with Patrick Stewart. Christian was also the set director for Star Wars, A New Hope.
No way!
Yeah.
And second unit director for Phantom Menace.
You know what's funny? All right, we're going to get into this, but there's a lot of the wipes. They went through a lot of wipes. I'm like, are they trying to copy Star Wars, but just not in a good way, or is this a complete coincidence?
I believe George Lucas recommended Roger Christian for this job. We also get that this was written. I mean, obviously, it's based on the Scientology book by L. Ron Hubbard, right? But the screenplay is written by Corey Mandel, who only has credits for writing Love Kills, which was a TV movie from 1991, and he has a special thanks for Man of the Year, a mockumentary of Playgirls Centerfolds, which the lead character is named Dick Schaefer.
I also looked him up, and he teaches screenwriting.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, that is a mistake if you're taking that class. It's also written by J.D. Shapiro, who wrote an episode of Charles in Charge and helped write Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yeah, so Shapiro wrote like an earlier draft of the movie and then got fired. And then Corey Mandel is responsible for the final product here.
J.D. Shapiro has some thoughts on this movie.
Is he related to Howie Mandel?
That's a great question.
Yeah,
maybe that's how he got in. Synopsis for Battlefield Earth. It's the year 3000 AD. The Earth is lost to the alien race of Cyclos. Humanity is enslaved by these gold-thirsty tyrants whom are unaware that their man-animals are about to ignite the rebellion of a lifetime.
Man-animals. You have to say it like he does.
Tagline for this movie, Amin, prepare to go Cyclo.
Of course. Yes.
So, all right, there's some discrepancies in the budget of this movie. It's reported as a $73 million budget, but apparently there was some fraud, and it's not actually 73. It's way less than that. It grossed $21.4 million in the U.S. and $29.7 million worldwide.
That's amazing. It's amazing that many people went to see it.
Yeah, I mean, that had to have been a selling early tickets kind of thing.
Let me ask you guys a question. Do you guys remember when this movie came out that the rumors were that this was everyone who's in Scientology has like a blood debt?
Yes.
To create these Scientology type movies. So Will Smith, After Earth, this one, what was Tom Cruise's one? Was it Minority Report?
Yeah, Minority Report.
Like they all have like these futuristic sci-fi movies that tie into Scientology themes. Tom Cruise is the only one who seems to make the good ones, though. Have you noticed that?
Yes, yeah, Tom Cruise. I think he gets the first pick,
and that's why he's the highest level, and John Travolta is really jealous of him, right?
Isn't exactly, that right. There's a feud there between the two of them.
Thetan levels.
Before we jump into this, and you listen to the rest of the podcast, obviously spoilers. Battlefield Earth is available on Showtime streaming. If you want to do that, or if you want to buy it, you know, there's a terrible decision for you. Rotten Tomatoes score 3%, as Maze mentioned, 3% from critics on 148 reviews, 12% from the audience on over 53,000 ratings.
Again, 12% seems like abnormally high. Like,
that's,
who are these people?
That's got to be Scientologists, right?
Gotta be. But 12%? They're bots, probably.
Yeah, right. It's probably bots. They probably bought some bots. And yeah. So, all right, the good reviews, I mean, and they're not, there were four of them, but I'll just read three. Luke Y. Thompson of the New York Times, it's been a while since we've seen dumb entertainment this unpretentious, so why worry that it doesn't make a lick of sense? Is this movie unpretentious?
Yeah.
I don't know that I agree with that. Bob Graham of the San Francisco Chronicle, is it worth seeing once? Sure. A resounding review.
Yeah, that's his.
And Joe Blow,
even though I don't agree with it,
Joe Blow of Joe Blow's Movie Emporium, despite starting off like a bad Star Trek episode, this film eventually graduates to a higher level. I've never seen Star Trek, but I'm just going to disagree.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. The negative reviews, Alexander Walker of the London Evening Standard, appalling. That's it.
Yes.
Jeff Strickler of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, logic is in short supply. Burned out cities have electricity, for example. My favorite, a hangar full of jets buried under 1,000 years of dust not only fire up instantly, but still have fuel tanks of gas.
Let me just say right now, that was the moment where I sent the text.
Oh, yeah. Sent the text, fuck you, Mace.
Yes. I was so angry. I threw things at my team.
It's the worst, like, here's just a toy on a string CGI I've ever seen.
Oh, no. Forget about how awful the CGI is and all that stuff. All right, forget about that. You could have used the best CGI in the world.
Peter Bradshaw of The Guardian, with this journey into the heart of rubbish, this full-throttle adventure into the hyperspace of drivel, Travolta not only incinerates what is left of his own reputation, but takes down someone else with him.
Who do you take down, Forrest Whitaker?
It's got to be – or Barry Pepper. Barry Pepper was destroyed for this movie. Still manages a career, but he was destroyed.
You know what's funny? Like, I was looking at Barry Pepper in this movie. I'm like, What, do these guys not have options? I thought their careers were going pretty well. Why would they agree to this? Like,
Forrest Whitaker is a baffling one to me. This kind of makes sense to me for Barry Pepper.
No, he was too late in the game, like, at this point to take this movie, right? Unless he's a Scientologist.
That's the thing. I don't think Forrest Whitaker is a Scientologist. Like, but he has a resume of taking these kinds of movies.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of, part of me is like, you know, can I really fault him? I don't know. So then I go back and I think about it. It's like, well, maybe he was kind of hard up. You know who knows, by the way, who knows Forrest Whitaker?
Who?
Freddie Prinze Jr.
Oh, from the Star Wars stuff, right?
Yes. So yeah. I'm wondering if I can add, like, but before that, even before Star Wars, like, Forrest Whitaker is like Freddie Prinze's, like, show business godfather or something. Like, he's giving him, like, advice about stuff, and, like, and it's really helped him. He's really helped him in my career.
Hopefully Freddie didn't take all of it.
I'm just like, I want to know, like, yo, what drives an actor to take this kind of role? And then the other thing I was going to ask was, I've never asked this. I want to ask someone, maybe I should ask Freddie, but I think it'd be more fun if I asked someone on air. Have you ever taken a role that midway through you said, you know what, to hell with the money. I'm not doing this. This is dumb. Walk out on that. And does that have a negative, like, is it bad for your reputation in Hollywood if you walk out on a movie?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I would think if it would have happened, it would have been Julianne Moore in Next. Right? All right, three more negative reviews. Anthony Lane of The New Yorker. The director is Roger Christian, who, if early audience response is anything to go by, would do well to flee the country under an assumed name.
Attaboy.
Roger Christian sounds like an assumed name.
It does. It already does, right? That's a witness protection ass name. And then Stephen Rosen of the Denver Post. You don't watch it, you survive it. I agree with that. And then
we're all survivors.
Dennis Harvey of Variety. Next time we're at a basketball game, and they ask the veterans to stand up, we have to stand up.
Yes.
And then Dennis Harvey of Variety. Pretty much the showgirls of sci-fi shoot 'em ups.
I'm going to say that Showgirls was way more palatable, way more believable a script,
It's better
movie,
acted.
Better act. Well, I don't know.
All right, on par.
On par.
I mean, Judy Gershon was great.
I think that there seem to be three types of cinephobe movies. There's the underrated movies that are actually good. There's the movies that are bad in a fun way that can be enjoyable to watch. And then there's the movies that are just flat out atrocious and torturous.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of those lately. Feels like.
It all started with fucking Hot Rod, man.
You're a terrible stuntman.
What?
You're a terrible stuntman.
What?
You're a terrible stuntman.
I'm just kidding. I can hear you. It was just really mean.
That's when it turned. Because we didn't like Hot Rod. May started throwing haymakers, and then you've kept to you want to do movies that you enjoy. I'm throwing haymakers too, right back at May's, and you're catching strays.
I think I have next week's pick. I'll let you guys know by the end of the pod what we're gonna go with. It's going to be another kind of like bring the average back up.
Yeah,
but once we get past my next pick. Oh. I'm digging deep on you assholes.
Okay, all right.
I've been doing research. I'm on Just Watch, just trying to figure out which one of these are available so we don't have to pay for this awfulness.
No, I'm going
to
make you guys pay for the next one.
Amin's just got a corkboard at home with a bunch of strings drawn, plotting his next attack.
Oh, my God, man. Right now, it's all hunky-dory. Next week, you're like, wow, Amin really picks good movies. All right, watch this.
All right, let's get into it. A Saga of the Year 3000. That's what it says on the screen immediately. And I just wrote, what? What does that mean?
That's the name of the movie. So that's the thing. I was like, that's my first note. It's like, is that the name of the movie? We've never talked about it.
Full title?
Yes, I believe so. The way it was presented on the screen, I think the full title is Battlefield Earth, The Saga of the Year 3000.
Well, it's a subtitle. This was supposed to be more than one movie.
It was, yes. No. It was supposed to be more than one movie.
Where would they go?
This was only the first half of the book,
Right. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Right. It's a lot of slow motion in this movie.
Okay, so that's – all right. So I'm going to read my first several slow motion – first notes. First, the slow motion grief. Then – it's worse. So it's slow motion fall. Then I said, they're really fond of slow motion. And then at, at that point, from then on, like every other scene is in slow motion.
And it's like that choppy, low tech slow motion because the frame rate's all fucked up.
Yes.
Well, it's so he's got to find new land so they can have food, right? That's Barry Pepper is trying. He's a villager. He's trying to find his dad dies. He's trying to find new land for them to actually have food and everything to survive. So he goes off on his horse. And there is a scene as he gets into like a meadow where they do two different slow motion actions with the horse.
Yes.
Like the horse gets scared and then and then it goes back to regular motion. And then he falls off the horse within like 8 seconds. Fall. Yeah.
Yeah.
Slow motion.
And, then, and by the way, the stuntman was black. I don't know if you noticed that. I was just like, y'all really didn't give a fuck, huh?
My note here is Barry Pepper has some real white girl in the Caribbean on vacation hair going.
Yes, he does. Yes. Yeah. Look, my hair got braided. Like,
yeah.
Definitely that going on.
At one point, he's interacting with the woman and she wants to go with him and he says she can't handle it and she calls him an arrogant breeder, to which I wrote, is this a feminist movie? We'll find out later. No, it is not.
No, it is not. Yeah. By the way, he tells her, yes, you can handle it. And that's why you need to stay and help with the village. And I said, that's awesome reverse psychology there.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he got her. He absolutely got her. We meet Kim Coates and some fat dude. Kim Coates, you might remember from what's he most known for? Sons of Anarchy?
I'll be honest with you. When I saw Kim Coates in the credit, I was like, I don't remember her.
They meet up with Barry. They start to threaten him. They decide, like, you know, we're going to find food. He wants to find the gods. And so he has food. He says he will exchange that for them showing him the gods.
By the way, this all happens in the ruins of
a mini golf course. Right.
And I said, somehow I doubt putt-putt is what survives 1,000 years of the demise of the human race. Like that, there's no way that this is made of like, think about things from 1,000 years ago, like Notre Dame, the cathedral and stuff like that. Like a putt-putt course is not on that level, man.
They go into a city, a clearly like eroded, abandoned city.
What was the name of the movie with Halle Berry where everyone talked in that weird pigeon dialect?
Are you talking about Cloud Atlas?
Cloud Atlas.
Yeah, man.
That's the Wachowskis. Your favorite, I mean.
Yeah, first of all, terrible movie, which future cinephile title, but also one of the things I hated about that movie was like the pigeon English, like the same thing as After Earth. They try to figure out like what people in 1,000 years are going to try and sound like. And it just sounded ridiculous until like I watched this movie and I said to myself, you can't have guys talk normal and then also grunt like cavemen, right?
This movie handles language extremely poorly, as I'm sure we'll get to.
They're talking about the frozen ones, which are just statues, and they say the gods have cursed them and everything. They talk about a magical place under golden arches where food magically appeared.
Fucking McDonald's!
So they start arguing over food or something. I wasn't really, I got full disclosure, I didn't pay great attention to this movie. I tried at times, but I wandered.
It was hard to.
I did. I'm telling you, I have copious notes. For instance, they call him Greener. By the way, she doesn't call him Breeder. She calls him Greener.
Oh, okay.
And Greener because, as he explains, the grass, he's a guy who always, as the grass is always greener on the other side.
Yeah, and they keep saying and piece of cake.
And yeah, so I said, having the saying the grass is greener on the other side doesn't hold weight with this when you're also dealing with people who don't understand a fucking mall. They're in a shopping mall. Like, this isn't hard. Like, there's no way mankind can go that primitive to where they can't understand a shopping mall.
Well, this was the problem with After Earth is they had all this evolution. It was like 1,000 years.
Right.
Right? Like, I mean, it's, you know.
It's a little different. Well, that's the thing. Like, it's like, oh, the year 3000 and, like, mankind has been, like, nuclear bombed back to Stone Age. And I'm looking around, I'm like, it seems pretty green and like lush and their animals.
Yeah,
like,
they didn't scorch the earth in it by any means.
And the putt-putt course survived. Like, what's happening here?
So we get a creature with dreads walking through. You know, he's shooting these beams at him. Like this energy, I don't know what it is. He's shooting something. It's disabling them. There's a lot of, I mean, more it's slow a
terrible
motion.
Shot.
More
terrible slow, shot. Lots a terrible of slow shot. Motion.
I wrote the note. John Woo thinks this is too much slow motion. Like this is. Like it's just like every other thing is slow motion. Barry Pepper gets caught. Everyone gets caught. Now he's in a cage flying away. He's freaking out. There are others captured.
That's, effects, the special effects, I must point out, this is where it really hit me. Like, this is terrible special effects.
Made Jupiter Ascending look good.
Now the idea that you said it was fraud makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
Because they gave them a certain amount of money for special effects and they didn't spend all of it, clearly.
In certain parts of this world, the creatures, the aliens, have put their own atmosphere into it in these domes and stuff. So they can breathe properly, but the humans can't. So they're given breathing apparatus. So we kind of get introduced to that. We're at a human processing center. They try to escape. They don't.
In Denver,
right.
This is what happened to Denver after they legalized mushrooms.
Yay, there it is. By the way, Barry Pepper shoots a dude.
Yeah, shoots a dude,
and then in order to escape, runs into the prison. And I'm just like, he ran right into like cell block A. Like Like, at no point did you say, oops, turn around. Like,
yeah, he runs in, he falls to the feet of, like, John Travolta and Forest Whitaker is where we're introduced to them, right? It's all slow motion.
My note is, nice to see some alien diversity. Wait, is that Forest Whitaker?
So, all right, I'm just going to say what my note is, and we can decide later if we should take it out. But I wrote, Forest Whitaker, how do I say this, doesn't not look like Lizzo with this hair.
He looked like Lizzo to me, man.
Yeah, he looked like Lizzo.
What's because you haven't seen Star Trek, Zach? Because he looks like a shitty version of a Klingon.
That's the thing with like the fucked up forehead and stuff, right?
And the hair.
All right, I'll take that.
This is the part now, Maze. You're going to have a lot more work because there's a lot of quotes I have here that need to be spliced in.
So my question is, I've got questions like, what's happening with Travolta's voice? Is he doing a Madonna hybrid accent? Wait, the accent's gone. Nope, it's back.
Nope.
Like it goes in and out like you would not believe.
He calls Barry Pepper a man animal.
Who is responsible for allowing this man animal to run around unsupervised?
The man animal shot the Wranglers.
I guess they call all the humans on Earth. Yeah. But my thing is like, why would you call them man animal? Wouldn't you just call them animals? Man, like you don't call cow animal. Come here, cow animal.
Right. They didn't say rat animals later when rats are introduced into the movie.
And then the other thing I was thinking was somehow by calling him a man animal, it still shows more respect than slave owners did to slaves in this country, right?
Because they weren't enslaving them; they were just imprisoning them, right? Like there were real debates. Well, there were real debates on whether or not they were gonna enslave them to work in the mines.
To work in the mines for gold, but they were working in the mines internally into the dome.
So I guess is that slave labor or is that prison labor? God,
it's a gray area. It's a little bit of both. And this is where I wrote. First, I wrote the note out of your skull bone.
Reach for the gun,
sir. I might get shot.
Sure you might, and I might suddenly grow a third arm.
But sir, I swear it shot the Wrangler.
The report filed today still has my name on it, and you are out of your skull bone if you think that I'm going to write on the report shot by man-animal as the cause of death unless I see it.
If I obey your command, I may get killed.
And if you don't, it's a certainty that you will be killed. Reach for the gun.
It reminded me of, you know what he talks like? He talks like Zoolander. Matilda. Matilda. He enunciates certain letters very hard.
We get such weird fucking exposition. When he's talking to this bartender where he's like, he's getting a promotion. Most of this movie is office politics.
Yes, it is. It's a lot of corporate office politics,
right?
Yeah, it's intergalactic middle management.
It is. And it's
Rogue One. That was Rogue One.
I thought a lot about Inspector Krennic in this movie.
Yeah. Rogue One, man. Rogue One is a movie about middle management.
I'm sure our little agreement is still in effect. Now that you're leaving, that unfortunate little incident won't somehow magically appear in my file.
Of course not. I'm a cyclo of my word.
Because I've always told you everything I've overheard in here.
Yeah. And your information has often proved to be quite useful.
You know how they overreact back at home, planet.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'd do if they found out.
Right. You better start figuring it out.
But you just said it won't appear in my file.
I said it won't magically appear. There'll be nothing magical about it. I'm going to put it there.
Hey! What about you being a cyclo of your word?
I am a cyclo of my word. And I will honor our agreement to the letter. As long as you were providing me with useful information, I wouldn't file the report. But now that I'm leaving this pitiful excuse for a planet, you will no longer be providing me with useful information. Will you?
I'm begging you. My son just got accepted into the academy.
First one ever in my family. You know how much it costs.
Please, as a friend, couldn't you forget to file the report?
Well, as a friend, I could forget to file the report. But unfortunately, I'm not your friend!
He's an asshole. he's an immense prick. He's a prick to everybody in this movie. But I also put, they seem to have a lot of American customs for an alien race.
Yeah.
Like the opening up to the bartender and like the final part. Like, yes, he says, but unfortunately, I'm not your friend. He does it with this.
He talks like Christopher Lloyd in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Yes. And he talks like this.
Yes. It's so over the top. Another thing that happens, I believe in this scene or maybe in the next scene, they use the word crap a lot.
Yeah.
My man comes from Cyclo World or whatever.
His excellency, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is my note later on is it's called Cyclo and then they're called Cyclos.
Yes.
It would like be like us being called Earths.
Yes, yes.
We're Earths.
Maybe we should be.
No, we're man animals, Zach.
All right, we are man animals. So there's slow motion of the man animals being hosed off in the prison. Barry gets knocked out trying to escape. He's really trying to escape this whole time. And I just wrote the note, this is Scientology, huh? Like, that's what this is. And that's when...
Well, okay. They actually say that it's not much Scientology going on here in this story.
Yeah, they're out of their fucking mind. This higher up gets transported there. Travolta wants to be his guide. They're talking about exterminating humans. They're discussing what dogs might be. One of these guys looks like Steve Bannon. Travolta is just harping on this, like he wants this transfer to go through.
He's trying to get off the planet, and there's that great moment where he laughs too hard at his boss's joke, and I thought that was just like, this is like an office comedy.
Yeah! It's a lot like Office Space.
He's stuck on Earth because of an unexplained incident involving the senator's daughter. Did you guys catch that?
Daughter, yeah.
Yes.
Had I known it was the senator's daughter? I'm like, did he fuck her?
Did he fuck her? Did he kill her? What happened?
A couple of here notes. One, you're too much. So they tell me that was an exchange that happened. I feel like Zeet, who is his excellency, takes every opportunity to shit on Earth. Like, he packs in a lot of fucking shitting on Earth. Oh, this crap hole planet. There's this crap holes. If you die and go to hell, at least it's a step up from this crap hole. I'm like, yo, man, we get it. You don't like Earth. You don't have to keep harping on it. When they tell him, not only are you not coming off the planet, but you're going to be on here for 50 cycles with endless options for renewal. And then it echoes. I laughed. I legit laughed, guffawed. It was so funny. And also, while he's saying that and that's echoing, the other dude, who I believe is called Planet Ship, right?
Yeah.
He's just weirdly there with his mouth open.
He's just like, he's so uncomfortable with what's happening right now. It's so awkward. I just wrote the note, fucking government, man. The bureaucracy will get you.
Before he realizes that he's doomed to stay on this planet forever, he explains to His Excellency that he's been training Forrest Whitaker, his character, to take over after him. After he leaves. So after this happens and he realizes he's going to be here forever, he's at the bar. He's literally hugging like four beers or four whatever their drinks are.
Or whatever these green juices are, right? Yeah.
Oh, they're either hand grenades or Incredible Hulk.
That's the other part of the human race they liked.
Given the size of the container, I'm going to say hand grenades. But at that moment, I thought to myself, wait a second, what does this mean for Forrest Whitaker? No promotion either? That's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, it is. It's fucked up. And so, yeah, they're getting drunk at the bar. And I wrote, this movie is just about real life. Forrest is getting wrecked for not getting the promotion. And then I had this note, because I'm genuinely curious, because I couldn't tell. Is Travolta acting his ass off in the scene? Because he's really going through it. So, all right. So then we get into the man-animal prison. Some dude tries to check Barry, saying he gets to eat, and then his men get to eat, and then everyone else gets to eat. They have a fight.
Oh yeah, that's
right. Barry wins. He feeds the people, which apparently was his suggestion for the movie. And I wrote, no shit, we're 28 minutes into this movie, and there's probably been 20 slow motion scenes.
Barry Pepper would have done well and Never Back Down.
Oh, it was great, man. He was throwing bows, absolutely.
And that guacamole looks terrible.
It
looks
awful, my God.
Yeah. So yeah, now we're at the place where Forrest Whitaker is sweaty as hell. He find out they've been spying on each other in the office. John Travolta caught him in a lie about gold that can be mined. I wrote, this isn't a trustworthy work environment. Do aliens have HR? Is it called AR?
Watching Forrest Whitaker attempt to walk in these boots was killing me. Every time there was a wide shot of him, he's so awkward.
Oh, my God.
He beats Forrest Whitaker's ass in the scene, and I laugh so hard.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, this guy's such a dick.
He's the worst. And so now we're getting – but at the same time, they're having real debates – about like labor costs and proper working conditions. Yeah. And I wrote, is this movie pro union? Is Scientology pro union? Like, I don't know anything about this world.
Zach converts by the end of the movie.
I need to know more.
And then I wrote, I wasn't paying attention. A building fell. Barry tries to escape. I wrote, all these creatures are wearing orthopedic shoes.
So this is, at this point, I noticed their hands. They're like furry goblin hands. I hadn't noticed that before. Also, like the last scene, their furry ass teeth, and obviously this cycloplanet does not have any dentistry.
Not at all. Yeah.
Also, at this point is when I noticed the barn door wipes that they keep using over and over again for every scene. It's really awkward.
It's awkward, and also they still have action happening in the background, sometimes in slow motion. So it just looks real. Like sometimes they're just a face.
It looks like it's buffering as you're watching.
Yes, it does. That's exactly what it looks like.
All right, now Barry's still escaping. Travolta and Forrest Whitaker are teaming up to search for this gold. He gets trapped at a gate. Travolta comes and kills the aliens that are trying to capture him. They want to use him as an experiment. They want to learn what humans like to eat.
Man animals.
So they trick him into thinking they've escaped to the mountains so that they can spy on them. Barry catches a rat. He eats it raw. Barry discovers that they're like cameras in their buttons of the clothes, so he disconnects them. Travolta said it couldn't be done, and Forrest Whitaker mocks him so hard that Travolta gets up and storms out, but hits his head on the ceiling.
Yeah, such a dick.
Ah! Crap, lousy ceiling! I thought I told you to get some man animals in here and fix it!
There's real vulnerability there!
Yeah. Also, I said, Barry doesn't strike me as smart enough to be outsmarting and escaping over and over again.
No,
just like there's nothing about his character tells me like this is a really sharp cookie here, you know.
And there is a slow motion shitty look from Forrest Whitaker to end the scene after Travolta hits his head on the ceiling that I fucking loved. I would get that gif like tattooed onto my body if I could. It was so great. When they escape, they're in Aspen. They get trapped by alien ships. Travolta and Forrest Whitaker are arguing if man animals can fly. So Travolta drops one off a cliff. He doesn't fly. And he says, that's why I'm a senior executive and you're a lonely clerk.
Yeah, like, first of all, Forrest Whitaker, why did the curiosity hit you at that moment? Like, I wonder if
because I think he was trying to jump across the ravine, right?
Oh, he thought about it, but then he thought about jumping in, and then thought twice because they told him he was going to die or whatever. But also, let me remind you, they threw a stick at a helicopter or whatever that is. Now,
like a Harrier jet type of like alien ship, right?
He threw a stick at it.
Travolta is always condescending to Forrest Whitaker about how he went to the academy and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, really job title checking. Like,
it made me think that John Travolta's character is a trust fund kid.
Oh,
and then Forrest Whitaker is like, you know, from the streets or whatever, and he's always referencing his education and his family line and all this shit, and he's such a piece of shit.
A couple other things. A, the special effects on the music video? You might think I'm crazy. That's what the effects look like right there. When the guy's falling, it's just, hey, just wave your arms and we'll just zoom out. And we'll green screen behind.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, if you're familiar with like Peter Gabriel videos from the 80s, like it looks a lot like Sledgehammer. Yes.
Another thing we didn't point out is that when they're talking about their plan about how they can train the humans and so they can do this mining or whatever and that no one will know, they say, oh, well, how will we train them? We can educate it in the learning machine. And I just said, that's what y'all called it? The learning machine? You couldn't think of a cooler name for a fucking learning machine. The machine that helps you learn.
That's the thing about this whole movie. It's like they know everything about humans and nothing at the same time.
Just all the vocabulary that they choose for these things is so primitive.
This is my favorite part. So they take Barry Pepper and they stick him in this machine. The machine has like a Microsoft Office paperclip that's called a Klinko that is basically does this. Like they have some sort of special ability to help people learn things, right? So it is there. It's teaching Barry Pepper. But before it does, it gives this long speech about its people and what happened to them. And I'm like, whoa, 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 Klinko. We didn't ask for your life story. You can just teach the guy, man, whatever. And then, like, after he's done learning, and now he's learned the language, and all, he goes back and he's telling his buddies, it's like, I know their language, whatever. And, like, how? He said, from their knowledge machine. And I said, look at these dumbasses. It's called a learning machine. You fucking morons, get it right.
So he now knows math. He's trying to explain a triangle.
Euclidean geometry. I'm like, yo, the aliens don't know who Euclidean, or whatever his name is.
Euclid,
that's right.
Yeah, he knows molecular biology, engineering, artistic composition for some reason.
Yes.
The woman from earlier in the movie wants to go find Barry. She argues with like her dad or some shit. I don't know.
Well, after he gets out of the learning machine, this is when we have the revelation, apparently, that John Travolta has not been speaking English this whole time.
Yeah.
Because then There's this weird transition. He's actually speaking Cyclo or whatever. Yeah. There's slow motion. And then it's so bad. It's like, just use subtitles for something.
Yeah. Yeah. No. How else are we going to hear him say, Man in the Moon?
So Barry knows their language. This is where we find out Barry knows their language.
Yeah.
Says they're his prisoner now. They try to ambush the aliens.
Oh, do you want lunch?
dangling the rats in his face.
Do you want lunch?
Guns aren't loaded that they steal. Yeah. Like,
hold on, Zach. Where he's like, yo, because another thing he talks about a lot in this movie, this motherfucker doesn't shut up. About leverage. I have leverage.
He says leverage so much.
Yeah, he loves the word leverage. So he's trying to get leverage over the humans, over Barry, by like, oh, he wants to eat rats. I've got the rats. Don't you want to eat? But it turns out like Barry's like, I'm just not going to eat the shit. So he has to find more leverage. And he says, we got your girl. And I'm like, how do you know that was his girl? And then he pulls out the sketch. He's like, ah, that's how we knew it was her. And I'm like, again, how did he know that was his girl? And so he puts like this weird like explosive collar on one of his boys and say, if you don't tell me whatever it was, like if you don't give me this information, I'm gonna blow his head off. And he's like, no, don't kill him, whatever, please, I'll do whatever you want. And he says, okay, I won't kill him. And he gives the remote to Forrest Whitaker. And then Forrest Whitaker blows the dude's head off. He's like, I never said he wouldn't kill him.
It's a lot of like Riddler ass like logic from him, like semantics.
This is what I wrote. This dude loves semantics. There's so many semantic like this. The whole unfortunately, I'm not your friend. And like,
yeah.
Also, the exploding head happens off camera.
Yes.
Yeah, because there's no way they have the budget for it.
And there's a lot of slow-mo reaction shots instead.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Slow-mo grief.
So now he takes Barry to the Denver library. Barry's on a leash. He tells him man-animals only put up a 9-minute fight against the aliens. He lets Barry peruse the library. He's reading the Declaration of Independence for some reason.
Yes, that should help.
Travolta mentions his academy training again. I wrote, nobody likes or listens to the person who only talks about how good and smart they are at stuff.
No, it's like at Harvard. He's one of those guys.
Yeah.
Well, at Harvard.
We
used to have a saying.
My dad donated the Cyclo Library to Harvard.
He wants to show what a great marksman he is, and so he's just shooting the legs off of cows in a field.
That was the fun. He kneecaps that cow.
He goes behind the back.
Again,
it's like the fucking Three Amigos.
Post-apocalyptic Earth. Still got cows. And like fresh air and streams and grass and all that.
Humans ambush him. Lots of humans. They capture Travolta by stealing the weapon. Barry wants to... I don't know. He's trying to lead a revolution, right?
Yeah.
There's like this broke ass Braveheart speech at one point.
By the way, this whole revolution thing, because I recently rewatched Thor Ragnarok. It just made me think of
Korg. Yeah.
Yeah, Korg. Like, hello, we're starting a revolution. I just kept thinking of that, especially when they're in the jail and he's trying to like rally them up. It just kept taking me back to looking Thor Ragnarok, man.
I gotta admit, here I wasn't paying attention. Just all of a sudden, they're back in the prison and like they're all like rallying around Barry.
Yeah, just he cuts his hair off and gives it to another dude, and everybody starts cheering.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Because his hair looks different at one point.
Yeah.
He puts his hair up, or it looked like he put his hair up, so I didn't understand what was going on with that. But I stopped paying attention a little bit. So now we're back at the alien bar. And this is my favorite scene in the movie.
This is the best scene in the movie.
Problematic!
So Travolta brings a lady alien over and says,
she's stupid enough not to be a menace, good-looking enough to be decorative. She gets drunk with economical speed.
And has other advantages.
She shows how long her tongue is.
Yes.
And I wrote, I'd swipe right on any woman that has that in her dating profile of like, I like
the bio. Or the tongue?
Yeah, no, the bio. Well, maybe the tongue too, but the bio. No, but the bio, that's actually a funny description.
It is.
And that's when I wrote, update, this is not a feminist movie.
And if you didn't know by that part, you'll know in a second where she talks about basically, hey, if you don't give me such and such information, I'll just turn you in to the planet ship and let them know you guys are running a secret gold operation. And to which he responds,
leverage? A female getting leverage.
He was great about this. That's Kelly Preston, John Travolta's wife.
That's what someone told me later.
Yeah. And by the way, they wrote her scene themselves.
Of course.
She must have wanted to come visit the set.
Had to have, and he was like, all right, I'll get you on. One of the officials has been cooking the books. Travolta's blackmailing him.
So I call that guy Nutsack Neck.
Yeah, yes. I was calling him Steve Bannon.
Look like Steve Bannon. Yes.
Yeah, this is just a political thriller. That's what this movie is. He's teaching Barry to fly in a simulator. He's yelling at him. I wrote, this movie is quickly turning into Whiplash.
Those graphics look like, you know, when you go to the movie theater and they have that roller coaster that goes by the popcorn and shit?
Yeah, it's not even that good. it's even worse than that. He keeps calling him rat brain.
Yes.
He drops Barry and man animals off at the mining facility, lets them know they're watching. They have 14 days to fill the cage with gold, but Barry's not going to have them mine. He's read about Fort Knox, where apparently they still have plenty of gold.
He breaks a stick in half to explain the concept of splitting up.
Right.
Human apocalypse happens, but Fort Knox is intact.
Intact and all the gold's in there. So they go to Fort Knox, they get the gold.
And the door's open, most importantly.
Yeah, the door's open. They just, the most, you know, one of the safest, you know, fortresses in the world. Completely easy for these primitive man animals to get through.
Also, how long is a flight from Denver to D.C. to Kentucky?
To Texas, to Kentucky, back to Colorado.
Well, but these are, you know, those little hovercraft things. I don't know.
How fast they don't move very fast.
True, actually.
There's no tracking equipment on these ships. So John Travolta doesn't know that he's gone to any of these places.
Travolta wants to know why the gold is in bars. Barry says he figures they didn't want raw ore. Now Travolta wants it in 7 days. They have 7 days to save their planet. He's planning the attack. They're going to ambush him, blow up the dome that has all the atmosphere that the aliens can breathe. Barry wants to destroy the Cyclo home planet by throwing a nuke there because they have a nuke now. They go to Texas to a military base to gather weapons, and we learn that they're going to learn how to fly jets, which 1,000 years later, again, are fully gassed up and just okay to turn on immediately. These primitive man animals are going to learn to fly them in 7 days.
The plan is that they're going to blow this dome up. I said, how do they know explosives? And then they're saying, ooh. Like, when we blow it up, though, they're going to send, like, stage two, and they're going to bring us in, like, reinforcements. Or then why do it? Well, we'll blow up their home planet. And I said, how are you going to blow up a home planet when you just learn how to fucking read? Like, he just learned how to read, like, 2 days ago, and now he's got a plan to travel interplanetarily to go blow up an entire planet. Then he's telling these dudes to learn how to fly in 7 days. Somehow, piece of cake. Survive, though. That's
Piece of Cake survived, and they said it's just like breaking a horse, which I wrote. I don't think that's how fighter jets work.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And by the way, like, think about this. We have the advantage of technology.
Right.
Of, like, we use iPads and computers and
yeah.
and all types of shit, right?
They threw a stick at a space alien.
You're telling me, I know for a fact, you can't give me 7 days in a simulator and have me flying shit.
I mean, I played Fortnite for 7 days and got worse.
These motherfuckers.
And I'm good at video games.
Again, still grunt from time to time.
Right. But I also wrote, this is the Matrix sequel we deserved.
Forrest Whitaker tries to blackmail Travolta by saying, like, he's got a copy of the video of him basically.
Yeah, Barry tells Forrest that he's being double-crossed. He gives him evidence, right?
Yes. And so he gives him the video of Travolta talking about their plan and how he's going to screw everyone over. And so Forrest Whitaker goes, confronts Travolta and says, look, I got video of you, and shows him the video and says, yo, you got it. Now we got to split 80-20, 80% my way on the goal, right?
Stugatz is strong in him.
Yeah, Stugatz is really strong in him. So, or he'll turn it in, right? And so Travolta says, like, give me the tape. He's like, it doesn't matter. There's another copy somewhere else. Leverage. And then they start talking about leverage a lot. Like, yeah, okay. And by the way, whenever Travolta acts nice, that means he's going in for a real.
He's doing the okey-doke, yeah.
He's doing all okey-doke. He's like, oh, I taught you well. You sure did. You know, Travolta, oh, yes, I taught you so well. You're such a good apprentice. Da, da, da. Who could you have told?
Please give me a hint. Let me figure out who this could be.
How the hell am I supposed to know who it is?
I don't know.
It could be anybody on this damn planet. It could be a mechanic. No. It could be a concubine.
No, no, no.
It could be anybody in the communications office.
Wrong.
I hate these things. I feel like it's a test that I'm not prepared for. Well, hell, it could even be our friendly bartender!
And whips out the bartender's head.
So funny. Where the fuck was he keeping this fucking head?
We also find out, though, that Forrest Whitaker is like, I'll get rid of all my current wives and get new ones. I'm like, polygamous?
Better looking ones.
Better looking ones.
Well, he also said he would fire them.
Fire them.
And hire new ones.
Yeah, that's not how marriage works. Also, when there's an exchange between the woman and Barry where she says, I've always known this was going to be your destiny. like revolutionizing it. And I wrote, really? This? You knew this would be. And he mentions having kids, and she's like, kids? Yeah. And I wrote, one revolution at a time, Barry. You can either storm the aliens or you can storm her ovaries, but not both. So, all right, Barry and the humans are taking over. The black guy gets killed. Alarms have been triggered. Humans try to warn Barry that five guards are armed and they're moving fast. They're not moving fast because they're on fucking stilts.
Why are they looting and rioting in an already bombed out and depleted city? It's like, let's break this window. Like, yo, Denver's been a shithole for a while, man. Like, you're not making a difference, my man.
There's slow motion action of Barry running through a shooting gallery with a pickle in his mouth. Fighter jets are being expertly flown and attacking alien ships. The CGI is like toys on strings. They're teleporting the bomb to the home planet. Travolta stops the transport, but then the transport happens again. Travolta announces to kill all the humans. Barry stabs Travolta in the neck. He attaches a bomb to him. There's slow motion fighting. He tricks Travolta into blowing the bomb up. His arm gets blown off in the process. Then the atomic bomb gets transported. Cyclo is blown up.
Yeah, the whole planet blows up off of one bomb.
Right, and it just kind of that. Well, they do explain from the learning machine that the atmosphere would react.
Yeah.
Again,
how does he know how to get to the home planet? Google Maps?
Well, no, they were going to teleport gas drones or whatever to Earth to fight, and he sneaks in through the window.
Well, how it works? You teleport something, and that thing can teleport back?
You open up a portal, and he walked through it, I think.
Wow. Apparently, Amin's never been in the learning machine before. What an idiot.
You want a rat, Amin? You want a rat?
Do you want lunch? By the way, this again, to reiterate, the part where I cussed out Baze in the chat was when the jets arrive and they're flown perfectly and they shoot down shit. And then as they're like chasing around and having a dog fight. Again, you see about 7 days, right? Against presumably a military. Like, motherfuckers have done this shit for their entire life.
Intergalactic military, I mean?
With technology far greater than our thousand-year-old jets.
That previously took out the human race in 9 minutes.
Right, right, right. These motherfuckers learn how to shit. But there's a point when they're in the dogfight and the dude says, I'm right on his tail. I mean, what the fuck? Did you watch, like, did you watch goddamn Top Gun? Like, where the fuck did you learn this terminology?
Oh, piece of cake. There are no stakes in this movie other than corporate espionage. So the humans win, and now we have Fort Knox.
Before they win, there's one last thing I want to complain about.
Yeah.
John Travolta, as he's being dummied into this whole thing where actually the tables are turned on him, but he's telling Barry Pepper how I'm going to kill you, girl, da da da. And Barry Pepper responds, surely her life is of no consequence to you. And I said, motherfucker, you were grunting at the beginning of this movie. Now you speak with this eloquence? What is this about? Where did this come from?
Learning machine, baby.
Oh, my God, man.
That's how that works.
So now we're in Fort Knox, as you said.
Now we're back in Fort Knox. Travolta, armless, is in a cage in the middle of all this gold. He's asking to be vaporized and saying, why don't you just vaporize me? And Barry says, leverage. he's flipped it on him.
I don't know what that means. I was like, well, how is that a plan? Is what I put down there. How is that a plan? Like, what's the leverage? I don't get it.
And he's like, oh, well, you're an idiot. Travolta basically like, oh, well, you should have killed me when you had the chance. Because Forrest Whitaker walks in. Forrest Whitaker gives the gun to Barry, and Forrest proclaims himself that he's the head Cyclo now. Motherfucker, you're the only Cyclo.
Yeah.
That's nothing now.
And not the only Cyclo on Earth. They blew up the whole planet.
They Krypton this thing.
You know, and like my thing is like, okay, let's just assume there are some colonies somewhere out there, right?
Okay, sure.
Like, you think they're gonna come and be like, oh, you cool? Like, no. I mean, you only collaborated with the people who decimated our race. But I think we can fuck with you.
Like, I mean, I would not want to be the last human. There's nothing for that. There's no win there at all. No. And that's how the movie ends. Yep. It's just over.
Well, that's when you say there's supposed to be more movies. Like, what more could they have gone into? I don't know.
I guess Travolta escapes.
Yeah, cliffhanger ending. Travolta breaks out and there's another battle, I guess. I don't know.
So some trivia. Forrest Whitaker expressed his regret for participating in this movie.
No shit.
The film's cinematographer has gone on record saying that the overuse of color filters and Dutch angles wasn't his idea, and he was given the smallest lighting budget he ever worked with. Almost every shot in the film is a Dutch angle because, according to Roger Christian, he wanted the film to look like a comic book. Dutch angles are those, like, kind of...
You put the camera low and you shoot up. It's also that thing's supposed to make them look taller, but they did such an awful job. Like, Forrest Whitaker and John Travolta are supposed to be 9 feet tall.
Yeah, John Travolta always looks short in this movie, despite being on stilts.
I'm sorry. That's his biggest, like, that's why?
That's the claim. John Travolta initially offered the director's seat to Quentin Tarantino.
This is so funny, dude.
Who declined.
Shocker.
Barry Pepper won best supporting worst supporting actor at the Razzies and said had he known he was going to win, he would have shown up to accept the award.
Good on him.
Yeah. John Travolta, this might piss off Amin. John Travolta referred to this film as like Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, but better, and the Schindler's List of science fiction films during its publicity tour.
Oh my God, man.
Also like Pulp Fiction for the year 3000.
Really? Did he say that for real?
He said that for real.
No, I did not see a fucking gimp despite Barry Pepper being in a leash at one point. So I disagree. In an interview with a magazine, Barry Pepper did say that the food provided on the set wasn't great. So John Travolta summoned his personal chef to the movie's Canada location to feed the cast and crew. That's nice.
That's a cool move. That's a cool look.
Yeah, he also like lowered his fee and invested his own money in it.
Yeah, he was really trying to get this thing made for a long time.
Since like 1980.
Yeah, 1983, I believe, was when he tried to first get it. The investor Entertainment, sued producer Franchise Pictures for fraud. franchise claimed the budget was $75 million instead of the actual budget of $44 million. Franchise was ordered by the court to pay Entertainment $121 million in damages, and they went bankrupt. Entertainment only financed the film because it was a package deal with Art of War and the whole nine yards.
So Franchise Pictures was run by Ely Samaha, a former dry cleaning mogul turned nightclub owner who specialized in rescuing stars' pet projects.
No, you only specialized in money laundering.
And he acknowledged that everyone thought I was crazy or mentally retarded for taking on the project, but I pitched the film as Planet of the Apes starring John Travolta.
It's a very Planet of the Apes vibe.
Very Planet of the Apes vibe from the very beginning, other than the wipes, which made me think of Star Wars. I guess credit to them. The movies they wanted me to think about, I thought about.
Barry Pepper blamed the film's failure on a weak script and poor production, claimed that John Travolta's paycheck took up most of the budget.
And he took a discount.
J.D. Shapiro, the first screenwriter who was fired, as Mays mentioned, openly apologized for the film and even personally accepted the film's Razzie Award for Worst Movie of the Decade. He stated in a New York Post article that the only time I saw the movie was at the premiere, which was one too many times. Looking back at the movie with fresh eyes, I can't help but be strangely proud of it because out of all the sucky movies, mine is the suckiest.
All right, like relax, but okay. I feel like it's pushing it a little bit there.
It was tied with Showgirls for the most Razzie Award wins in a year at 7 until I Know Who Killed Me. Won 8 in 2008.
What if I Know Who Killed Me?
It's a Lindsay Lohan movie, right?
Ooh,
yeah, that might be a future cinephobe. It's supposed to be real bad. Battlefield Earth 2 was planned and set for a 2000 release, so it could not compete with Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
I wonder why.
Travolta, Pepper, and Whitaker were all going to return in their roles. However, because the first one was such a box office disaster, it was abandoned. Oh yeah, so the Travolta's contract, he took down his $20 million fee to 10 with incentives that would have paid him about $15 million more if the movie met standards at the box office. I mean, it did not. he's got on publicly to defend it. Even said he would do it if they made it again.
He loves this shit.
Also, the word man animal is said 28 times. Apparently, man animal is hyphenated.
The only word that's said more is leverage.
Again, screenwriter J.D. Shapiro admitted that he got involved in the movie at first because he read that the Scientology Celebrity Center in L.A. was a great place to pick up women.
And then he goes on the yacht, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely got inducted for this project.
Shout out to him.
Travolta was originally supposed to be Barry Pepper's role in this movie, but could never get investors to back him for the project because of the association with Scientology. And by the time they actually got it financed, he was too old, so he took the villain role.
Oh, wow.
And this movie got made because of Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, but Pulp Fiction was 6 years earlier.
That's how long it took for him to grind it out.
Yeah, he was revived at that point. Tom Cruise is said to have warned Warner Brothers that he thought the movie was a bad idea, but his spokesperson later denied this.
No, Tom Cruise, you stand by that shit, man.
There was a film, the film had a toy line by Trendmasters. It was one of their last toy lines. Apparently not mastering the trend.
Yeah, nope, not at all.
There was a sequel, as we mentioned, and also an animated series planned after the film released. And then my last note from the trivia is John Travolta took so much inspiration from Predator that they had to add his voice in post-production. He refused to do or say anything other than the Predator's signature growl.
Wait, come again?
He apparently was only growling.
The whole time?
He was like growling on set, yeah.
Yeah. And they had to add his voice in post-production, which
I saw him talk, though.
I did, too. Yeah.
All right.
It's also 45 minutes into the movie before we find out that Barry Pepper's name is Johnny Goodboy.
I honestly did not know that was his name at any point in the movie.
I just kept calling him Barry Pepper the whole time.
Yeah, same. Maze, we have a review from the great Roger Ebert, right?
This is an incredible review. May 12, 2000, a half star. Battlefield Earth is like taking a bus trip with someone who has needed a bath for a long time. It's not merely bad, it's unpleasant in a hostile way. The visuals are grubby and drab, the characters are unkempt and have rotten teeth. breathing tubes hang from their noses like ropes of snot. The soundtrack sounds like a boom mic being slammed in against the inside of a 55-gallon drum. The plot, ellipsis. But let me catch my breath. This movie is awful in so many different ways. Even the opening titles are cheesy. Sci-fi epics usually begin with a stab at impressive titles, but this one just displays green letters on the screen in a type font that came with my Macintosh. Then the movie's subtitle unscrolls from left to right in the kind of effect you see in home movies.
You watched 22 Jump Street, right?
Yeah.
Remember when they're making that football video and they're just like, should we add more star wipes? That's what I felt like in this movie.
I'm not against unclean characters on principle, at least now that the threat of smell-o-vision no longer hangs over our heads. Lots of great movies have squalid heroes, but when the characters seem noxious on principle, we wonder if the art and costume departments were allowed to run wild. Battlefield Earth was written in 1980 by L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of Scientology. The film contains no evidence of Scientology or any other system of thought. It is shapeless and senseless, without a compelling plot or characters we care for in the slightest. The director, Roger Christian, has learned from better films that directors sometimes tilt their cameras, but he has not learned why. Some movies run off the rails. This one is like the train crash in The Fugitive. I watched it in mounting gloom, realizing I was witnessing something historic. A film that for decades to come will be the punchline of jokes about bad movies. There's a moment here when the Cyclo's entire planet, home office and all, is blown to smithereens without the slightest impact on any member of the audience, or for that member of the cast. If the film had been destroyed in a similar cataclysm, there might have been a standing ovation. Unbelievable.
It is... It's the worst movie we've done?
Ooh, it's gotta be, dude. It's gotta be.
I mean, yeah, it's, yeah. And yet somehow, like, Hot Rod, I just... Because Hot Rod didn't have a story. This at least had a story. Like, my thing is, like, it's a terrible story. But it's a story I can follow along and be angry about. Like, Hot Rod was just there.
Wow. Wow, you're taking shots at... I mean, you really tried to fuck Maze over here.
I think, like, Amin's dog died on the day he watched Hot Rod or something.
There is a user review on IMDb that says, why no option to vote 0 out of 10? This movie makes you wonder why on IMDb we're forced to give a movie as dreadful as this a minimum of 1 out of 10 when it quite rightly deserves a vote of 0 out of 10.
You know what my favorite part about that Roger Ebert review is that smell-o-vision is something that he's really worried about in the year 2000. Right.
All right, Amin, phobe or file?
I think you know my answer. Absolute phobe, man. This is one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
Maze?
Yeah, despite it being enjoyable to discuss, which would put it in the second category that I mentioned, this is so bad on so many levels, it's got to be a phobe.
Let me say this. I had seen this movie before, but I don't think I had seen the whole thing. Maybe I've fallen asleep during it in the past because there were a lot of parts I didn't remember, but I've watched this movie a couple of times, never really thinking I would watch it again. But after watching it this time, I mean, if it's on TV, I have to ask myself seriously, would I check to see what part of the movie is on?
Never again. I mean, yes, yes, yes. I would want to just see, but if he yells like, do you want lunch or like, a friendly bartender,
the tongue scene or whatever. Like, I have to, and for me, that factors into whether or not like I would recommend it. And I feel like if you're gonna recommend it, that's a file, right?
You would recommend this movie? I would not recommend.
I'm trying. I mean, should everyone watch it once? Sure.
No.
It's like The Room. Like, just to know the cultural significance.
There is no cultural significance. It's culturally insignificant.
It makes me wonder about Scientology. I know he says there's no evidence of Scientology. It makes me wonder.
I told you he converted. I knew it.
I've walked by Scientology places before. When I lived in Miami, when I lived in Coral Gables, there was a small place that I always wondered if I walked in, like, what would happen if I just asked for some literature?
Would you meet a woman?
I don't know. Like, I'd drive by all the time. Female. Leverage. I feel like I drive by these amazing structures in LA all the time because they're everywhere, these Scientology centers. There's one three blocks from me. Like, it makes me wonder what's going on. Guys, it's a file. I'd watch it again.
It makes me wonder what's going on with you.
It's a file. I'm sorry. I didn't enjoy it. but I would recommend it and I would check in on it. And I think legally for me, that means it's a file.
I hate you.